And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance of goal, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
If Kilkenny are in transition, by Jesus, we're all in for a tough, long few years ahead. Welcome to the GA. I've got Cheddar alongside me and a very smug JJ Delaney. How's things, JJ?
Yeah, great. Yeah, very, very good in Kilkenny there. Yeah, brilliant win there yesterday. Fabulous crowd there as well. And it's great to see the crowd back out in the field again after it. And Killian Buckley, the only speech, he kind of mentioned that as well. Good to see him back. And they had a tough road, especially in the league as well. The first couple of games of the league, they were written off. And look, again, a lot being said about they didn't have their full team, and they still don't have their full team. But again, it's going to find it very, very hard for these guys to come back in. They're not going to come back in and walk back on this team as well. And you're kind of saying, yeah, the two teams yesterday now didn't have their full lineouts. But I think Brian would be a lot more happier now, because going in yesterday, Colin Finley, Paul Murphy, these guys have to come back, all right. But they learned their stripes now to come back in on this team. Whereas Tipperary there, after yesterday's performance, would you say Seamus Callan and all these guys, they'll be straight back in. Dean Ballermar, these guys will be straight back in the team. So Brian a lot more happier with his whole squad now at this stage, because it's very, very competitive now at the moment as well.
Speaking of Brian Cody, 20th season as manager of Kilkenny Senior Hurlers, 20th national title, 11 All-Irelands, 9 National League titles, 15 Leinster Championships, 7 Walsh Cups. He's doing alright.
Yeah, he's flying. But even you see with the reaction after the game straight away, the camera went to him and he just kind of fist pumped to himself, just satisfaction. He still has that kick, that drive is still there. But all the fundamentals of Brian Cody's team was there to show there yesterday as well. And every ball was they were fighting for every ball. It wasn't just one guy, there was two or three guys on every breaking ball there as well. And you see even Conor Fordy for his goal as well, he broke in behind the Tipperary half back line, but Mossy Keown pulled it on the air and broke it in, so they knew what they were doing as well. But all the fundamentals of a Brian Cody team was there to see there yesterday, and that's all he wants. He wants guys, not might be necessarily the best hurler in the county at the time, but if he's there to do a job for it and he buys into the attributes that Brian Cody's looking for, he'll pick him every day of the week.
I don't think Brian liked the question on RTE afterwards. You know, they thought Kilkenny were supposed to be gone this year, they weren't supposed to do well. It was almost like, you know, what are you talking about? We're Kilkenny. Cheddar, what do you think of that?
I think Brian always says that, just that the mystique to Kilkenny. To be honest with you, he rarely gives I think an honest answer to those questions. Look, I agree with JJ. Certainly the team performance yesterday had all the hallmarks of Brian's philosophy in hurling, all about work rate, never give up on any ball. And over a period of time you might have to grind out a result, or it might flow for you, one or the other, it's going to happen for you. And I think looking at the game, you'd probably say Tipperary were in the ascendancy in the first half, slightly bit of a breeze, but I think the breeze died away after about 20 minutes. And you'd worry a little bit maybe about Kilkenny in the first half, even though there was a lot of good things happening for them. But I think Tipperary just, you know, in the second half, they just fell away. It was really, really, really disappointing. I think, you know, Kilkenny really faced them down yesterday, and Tip just meekly gave in, I think. And, you know, I think they have some serious issues to address over the next couple of weeks, and the real problem is if they have a time to address them.
And that's a good point about Tip, because this is the 8th time in a row they've lost at Nolan Park to Kilkenny. It's, I think it's 5 finals they've now played in 15 years and lost every one of them to Kilkenny.
Yeah, we've said that kind of here the last day, that, you know, this was a real statement of intent stuff for Tipperary, I think. More so than any other game. I think I said the last day that after the 2010 final, we said it in 2011, that look, Tip, you know, need to set down some markers here for the next 5 or 6 years against Kilkenny. But that was against a very experienced Kilkenny team, including the man beside me here, JJ. This was an inexperienced Kilkenny team, and you know, the match yesterday was a game to set down a marker for 5 or 6 years. They're going to be meeting one another. They've met one another umpteen times over the last couple of years. They're going to again over the next couple of years. And at the minute, you know, Tip seemed to have a serious, you know, mental problem playing against Kilkenny. And I thought that was really obvious yesterday. When the game was there to go for it, they didn't go for it. And when the pressure came on them in the second half, they certainly didn't put up the fight that you'd have expected of Tipperary teams of old.
Yeah, now we'll get onto the game in part two, but I suppose the question from the outset and what everyone is asking now, are the Cats back? Like, I saw their odds have shortened now. They're still 4-1. They won the All-Ireland. But is this a team that can go on and push on?
I think it's going to be a big team to beat them later on in the championship. for argument's sake, take the league process as what you have to take it as. It is still the league, but they're after finding a good few more players, and they're in a better place than they were this time last year, which is a huge incentive for Brian and the guys come on there. Their centre spine, their team is very, very settled at the moment, Páirc Welsh, and I think the debate on Páirc Welsh should be finished now. He's a full back, he's going to be there for the next foreseeable future, and he's hurling very, very well there, full back. He had problems, Jason Ford got on top of him at times, but then Páirc got on top of him other times. He's going to be there for the next few years, so I think this whole talk of he should be wing back and we have to find someone else, he won't be. He's doing a fabulous job there, and just judge him on him playing full back now at the moment, because he's absolutely brilliant.
Is it true he's playing forward for his club or something?
He's centre forward midfield for the club as well, himself and Mossy Comby on the half forward line there as well, and Tommy's in the middle of the field for the Hullerone, so they're a fair old outfit now at the moment.
That's decent enough. But lads, let's talk about TG Reid. I mean, we could do a whole show on TG Reid, because there's nothing he can't do. He averaged 12 points a game in the league, scored 15 yesterday, 181 for the whole campaign. And I mean, obviously he's a sort of cherished hurler now that everyone appreciates, but I was reading up about him, and it's a piece from John Fogarty in the Examiner, and talking about how TJ was pissed off in 2012 because he was only 24, but he was seen as the substitute, and the fact that he was only getting under the final team because Richie Hogan was suspended. And he actually went on a couple of years later and he admitted, this is some quote from him, "I was thinking about retiring. I would be very good friends with Henry. He sat me down and spoke to me. I suppose what turned it was that I loved it so much and it would have been hard to walk away from it. I spoke to Brian." So he's even talking to Brian Cody about retiring. This is at 24. "Maybe I opened up to Brian about how I felt. After that incident, I went on. We won the All-Ireland. I got an All-Star." He got another two All-Stars after that. He won Hurler of the Year. Now the whole country is raving about him.
Yeah, he's like, look, again, TJ can do it all. But what you like about TJ this year, really more than anything, is his leadership skills here as well. First half, he dragged Kilkenny through that first half on his own. He got three brilliant points in play. I think the one there, he dummied the corner back and he shimmied him and hit it over on the left-hand side. But he can do it all. But I think the whole of the country, I suppose, had their hearts in him out there. When he went down after 5 minutes and the knee injury, I thought no one tackled him and he was on his own. And he was down. He seemed to be very, very hurt there for a few minutes. And I thought he'd dread a cruciate or something like that as well. But lucky enough, he pulled through it and he came on and ran it off. And he had a powerful first half. But he's just a talisman there for Kilkenny. He doesn't only score himself, but he makes a lot of players as well. Very intelligent on the ball. What a good player it is. He looks like he has always his time on the ball. He gets the ball, turns around, looks, he swears he's in the schoolyard playing the game. He's just a very, very talented guy, and he's a leader as well up there at the moment. Himself and Walter Welch has taken up a lot of and again, they have to as well. There's young guys around him as well, and they're showing him what to do. And then when you're a young guy coming into a team like that and you see TJ and Walter chasing down guys and hooking and blocking, and then you're kind of saying, if they're doing that, why shouldn't I do it? And that just shows the template of where you have to be for Kilkenny forward.
Yeah, I mean, I take it TJ was somebody that you boys always were aware that he was a special talent. I saw a quote from John Power that said, "The general consensus in Kilkenny is that he would have been taken for granted, maybe by the rest of the country." Is that something that you go along with?
Yeah, look, we knew about TJ before he came into the Kilkenny panel. No doubt about that. He's absolutely brilliant hurler as well, like, you know, and I suppose he's very, very confident in his own ability as well, and Brian probably seen that earlier on, and he kind of laid down a marker earlier on to him too, because he couldn't have been a small bit harder on him than he would have been on a normal guy coming in. But he was hard on him because he knew how good he would be and how good he could be. Again, you spoke about him speaking to Henry, and Henry has a huge kind of outlook on his career, I'd say, as well, because he would have grown up in Ballyhale and seen the work that Henry was doing as well. And TJ had all the skills in the world, but he wasn't the best worker. He'd admit that himself when he came in first. But I suppose looking at Henry down through the years in the Kilkenny, playing for Kilkenny and for Ballyhale as well, he kind of seen he had to up his game in regard to work rate. But again, he's probably the most kind of probably the best hurler in probably Kilkenny and Ireland at the moment, because he's not just a scorer, he's not just a provider, he's a work rate, and his ability to win his own ball is second to none.
Cheddar, I take it you're equally as impressed.
Look, without TJ Reid in the first half yesterday, the game may very well have been over. He was the one Kilkenny player, particularly the one forward, that really took the game to tip. And JJ is right. After a couple, you know, after, I don't know, maybe after 10 minutes, it looked like they got a serious knee injury, and to come back from that and grab the game by the scruff of the neck, and bring all of those young players along with him was, you know, real leadership quality. I suppose when you're looking at TJ, you know, JJ is right. Even outside of Kilkenny, we would have heard about TJ, but look, there's a high volume of real quality players always coming through in Kilkenny, and that's best shown up maybe by last week with Kieran's winning 4 out of 5 All-Ireland. So not alone is there TJ there at the minute, there's plenty more of them to come along. And I suppose, you know, it shouldn't have been a surprise to us that Kilkenny would come quickly. They're definitely ahead of that curve in terms of transition and all of these lovely buzzwords that we wish to use. They're definitely ahead of that, but that shouldn't come as a surprise. These players are winning colleges, All-Irelands and that all up along. They've probably dried up a little bit at under 21 level in the last couple of years, but that doesn't say that there's quality players to come through. And if you look at all of the players that played yesterday, they've all come through that system. So there's lots of TJ Reeds out there. I think what's really interesting about TJ is that his positional sense for 11 at the minute is really, really high. Some of the times he plays out in front of it, you know, gathering up ball, makes it very, very difficult for a centre-back to mark him. But he's equally very, very strong under that dropping ball, and he'll play tough at centre-forward if he has to. And his strength, and particularly upper body strength, belies what, you know, what he appears he has. Not a little different from JJ here beside me when you see him on the field. His strength, particularly under the dropping ball, was a real feature, and I think TJ is the same. But his positional sense and his movement around 11 and being able to dominate that position, you know, at the minute is a real bonus, I think, for Brian, particularly with a lot of young players around him.
You saying JJ's not this big strapping fella that you see before you?
Well, I'd say about him, his
years
power,
had me good to be there.
His power under the ball on big players was exceptional.
It togs out bigger, doesn't it?
Mind you, we spoke of this before. He had a few little tricks up his sleeve to manage these as well.
Well, here's one you won't like, JJ. I saw a poll on Twitter after the game. It's basically asking the question: is TJ Reid now a better all-round player than Henry Shefflin was?
These balls are brilliant, but I don't. Why would you compare two brilliant hurlers? Like, same with Henry and DJ at the time, but it's great for DJ to be talked about in the same vein as Henry. But Henry is unfortunately is not hurling anymore, but TJ is the present now, so appreciate TJ for what he is, because he's an absolute fabulous hurler. He makes the ball talk, and it makes it look so easy as well. And he glides along the field, and you wouldn't actually realise how quick he is until you actually try and chase him down as well. He just kind of breezes away from me as well. So I look at his balls, are all well and good, all right, but everyone will have their preferences. Will there be another Henry? I don't think there will be. TJ is a different hurler than him. Obviously he's a lefty, and Henry was a righty as well, so the two of them are great hurlers, but again, just judge them on their own esteem, you know.
Yeah. Lads, I want to mention the Camogie before we move on, because obviously, I mean, JJ, you were down at the game. It was a sellout, 17,608, almost packed to capacity down in Nolan Park. I mean, like, most of those people were in attendance for the Kilkenny Cork Camogie final, and, you know, by the time the game was over, in the second half, certainly had most people there. And I mean, what a game they got. Like, it was such a tough, hard hitting game, like real drama right to the end of it. A lot of bad fouls, but a lot of great play as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Look, again, you're talking about rivalry with Kilkenny and Tipperary and hurling, but in Camogie, Kilkenny and Cork are meeting a lot over the last few years as well, so it's great for Kilkenny Camogie as well. But it's only right for, I think, these games should be on before all the hurling games anyway, because anyone that would have an interest, they're looking for a game to come in and watch it before a hurling match anyway, so why not give them a platform to shine? And anyways, there yesterday, now we'll go to the next match as well, because the skill on show, sharp passing, it was two different kind of systems as well. But Camogie girls were pinging the ball out left, right, centre, 20 or 30 yard passing, getting into the midfield half forward line and crossfield balls into the other corner. Actually, delight to watch, and very, very good. Kilkenny dominated the first half and got on top. Cork probably gave them too much of a lead, but again, through Cork style, they came back battling again, and it nearly pipped them in the end in the last few minutes, you know.
Were Cork messing around with it too much, Cheddar? Around the middle?
Maybe so, but JJ is right. The style is a little bit different in Camogie, and there's a couple of different rules that make it so. I'd certainly say the skill level. I think what has changed Camogie a good little bit in the last couple of years is the level of athleticism now in Camogie is very, very high. So the pace of the game has speeded up a lot, and you know, the skill level was always there. Certainly any of the Camogie All-Irelands or any of the Camogie level, particularly Division 1 is a very, very high skill level. And I agree with JJ, you know, it's something that that needs to be looked at in terms of the platform that they actually play on. It's certainly a high spectacle to actually look at.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of standout moments. Like Orla Cronin had a beauty of a goal, like just sort of, it was like a cat on a string, like she was just bringing like these
four players coming up to try and tackle her.
She was holding
it
out there, right, and teasing the ball and lobs it over the goalkeeper. It was unbelievable. Obviously Aoife Murray flying clothesline on Shelley Farrell, who somehow just gets up then afterwards. Like, and in fairness to Murray, I think it was a bit of an over the top tackle, but she had a Fowler. It was going to be a goal and the game was going to be over.
Yeah, it was. Look, she took one for the team. Far she got a red card as well before it, but again they saved the penalty and went on, and they kind of it's hard to know if they would have got a yellow and would have been 15-15 would have went on and won that game. But look, again, delighted now they didn't, to be honest, from a Kilkenny point of view. Again,
there was one
day in Nolan Park yesterday.
There was a moment during Shelley Farrell's speech, and Kathleen Woods, the new Camogie president, just sort of comes down and whispers into her ear, and Shelley Farrell's finished, she's about to just go lift the cup for one last time. She gets a whisper in the ear from the Camogie president, and then Shelley comes back to the microphone and says, oh yeah, I want to thank Littlewoods as well, because they're our main sponsor and without them we don't know where we would be. And so everyone was happy then, the sponsors got their mention, and the new Camogie president did the job.
Yeah, but look, this in Kilkenny we don't pack the speeches before the game, you know, we go on and win the game and then we'll see. We worry about the speeches after that, you know, we wouldn't be that big headed down there, you see.
And just finally, lads, TG Cahir, I mean, honestly, you look back now on what they've done since probably September. I mean, they've given us Hurling League, Football League, Sigerson Cup, Fitzgibbon Cup, Ladies Football, Camogie, Schools Games, Club Games. I mean, maybe somebody else would have picked this stuff up, but you think now, where the hell would we have been? What would we have done with our lives over the last 8 months if it wasn't for TG Cahir?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I've commented on that before. They've really to be commended for it. Not alone that, but actually the analysis is very good, and the presentation of and that is very, very good. Look, it makes you wonder, I suppose, you know, why RTE1 or 2 don't show more of it. You know, they may very well be considered the prime stations in terms of RTE and that. But look, aside from all of that, TG Cahir really be commended because of the number of matches they play. And they go out of the way to show colleges matches, and, you know, they show a huge amount of matches. And I think the GAA really need to be thankful to them for what they do.
Yeah, and I tell you what, they've actually raised the game now just from the weekend's coverage on RTE, because did you see the sort of replay feature that they had where they've shown replays in the bottom left hand corner whilst the game was still going on? Now, if there was time and there was a big replay, they'll show the replay in full as well. But that was really good, because there's so many times in RTE especially where you miss the next play. I remember going to a football game, Tyrone Donegal, and Peter Hart sprayed this beautiful pass, and I couldn't wait to see it then on TV, and it wasn't picked up because they were showing a replay from the point previous. Suddenly Tyrone are scoring a point at the other side, and you don't know what happened with the kick out, what happened with the pass. Suddenly the full forward has it and he's putting it over, and you missed the whole play because of a replay. Now what they also did was they went behind the goals as well for puck outs, and it just gave you such a different look at the whole game.
I'm just surprised that, you know, that hasn't been done on RT, you know, much earlier. You know, little breakdowns, little windows on the screen and that. Like, technically this is all possible now, but for some reason or other we don't see it. So it's good to see that, and I agree with you. You like to see the game going on, and you might miss little pieces, you know, in terms of quick puck outs and that. So it's good that they're picked up on, because you do like to go back and check, and particularly see even referees' decisions and that. You do like to go back and check, you know, was the referee right here technically, or, you know, did he get it wrong? And I think it's good just to see those little snapshots.
And the puck house is brilliant as well, because you see the movement in different players there as well. Like, you know, they could go into the middle or go over to one side and then sprint over the other side. And then if you don't see that point of view when you're sitting at home, you can't see it, and you're wondering, geez, why is he free? But this actually shows the movement of the players there as well. So it's actually it shows it how actually hard it is to track players as well. And what they're working on in training is working out in matches too. Like, that's a great incentive. I'm hoping to see it in the future.
Yep. Up next, we'll get into the game.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have a farm back home, so we have a big farm back home, and we have cattle and sheep, and we have a few donkeys as well. So we had a couple of filly donkeys. So I brought them down, and so we did. We actually sold them to. I think we had four donkeys on the day, and we sold them to a man from Wexford. So we did. So there's the piebald donkey still there, and there's the traditional donkey, and there's the Spanish donkey, and then there's the
Spanish donkey.
You see them on the beaches, never. And so you can actually one time the donkey was useless, right? But now some people have started to get back into them, Colin, because you can use them for headage, and it's used towards your, we'd say, your bonuses, your glance. A donkey in Eden, and a donkey in Eden Palace.
I suppose we'll start just with attacking fluidity. I mean, Tipperary scored just 1-7 in the second half. 1-6 of them were from place balls, but they only hit one wide in the whole second period, so they basically had two shots from play in 35 minutes of hurling. I mean, what is going on there?
Yeah, I suppose Kilkenny kind of, I don't know if they targeted or anything like that, but just after they got an unbelievable start after half-time, Walter Welsh got the goal, Conor Laney gave him a great ball in, and he caught the ball, and Seth and James kind of turned at the same time, but by the time Walter was in through and goal, he had, there was six or seven yards in between the difference, and Walter seen an opportunity and he went for it, and that kind of, he didn't have a great first half, Walter, by his own admission, and that kind of brought him into the game, and he just took over the around for around 20 minutes to go over, but Kilkenny scored probably around 1-9th, around 4 points in that kind of that period as well. But yeah, it's interesting to see that. I didn't realise he only had two shots to the goal, and look, that's not good enough for 35 minutes if you're a club team, and you heard that now, you'd be giving out as well to your forwards about that. But then you have Tipperary, these are forwarding with John McGrath, and Bubbles came on there as well, and Jason Ford, like, these guys should be able there. But I think it's going back to the fundamental thing that they couldn't win their own ball in the half forwarding as well. They were going along with the half, and Billy McCarthy done okay in the centre, alright, but Sean Curran was very industrious in the first half, first 10-15 minutes, and he was out around the field, he's back in his half back lane, back in midfield, but he didn't really work out for him in the second half as well. Now maybe that's not got to do with him, the ball was elsewhere, but it's just back to winning ball in their half forward in the game, because when Kilkenny got on top, the tip backs or midfield or the goalkeeper had no outlet. Where do I hit it now to get a relieve bit of pressure to get her free and win it? But didn't see it. But very, very surprised to see Michael Breen go off. I thought he might go out from the corner, bring him out, wing forward, a big guy, and he might win his own ball. Just try him out there for a while and maybe swap himself and John McGrath, because I think John McGrath is a lot more dangerous closer to the goal as well. And you've seen what he done when he got the ball for Jason Ford's goal as well. And the other corner forward would have sticked that over the bar, took the score himself, but he had the vision there just to give Jason Ford, and Jason Ford finish it now. So I think they could have benefited from switching him into the corner and bringing Michael Breen out, and he might be able to break up the play a small bit more, you know. But
is Michael Breen a natural forward though? Like, I saw he was under 21 fullback 2 years ago, was that right? And I thought he was struggling. Joey Holden was eating him alive for a lot of the game.
Well, look, he's proven it in the league matches so far as a forward, and he's been a constant scorer, and he definitely has raised his game. But I think, you know, rather than individually, or talking about individual as such, you need to look at the tip system of play and their method of play, and particularly their distribution of ball. And I just think in the second half, their whole system just fell apart, and that's really, really worrying, because I mean, they're big issues. It's not necessarily that you don't score. Incidentally, the match against Limerick, we were actually praising Tip for their efficiencies. I think they had maybe 7 scores and 1 missed score. But on the other side of that, that's just poor chance creation. That means in a half an hour's hurling, you've created 8 chances. Yes, it's very efficient, but you'd expect to create an awful lot more chances than that. And we were actually talking about Limerick missing chances in the first half, and we were talking about their inefficiencies. But on the other side of it, Tip didn't create an awful lot, and they definitely didn't create it yesterday. I think there are serious issues to look at, and particularly the type of ball that they hit into the forwards. We'll talk again about the team selection, the matchups, and how they changed their game and all of that, but let's just talk about the type of ball for a minute. Pádraig Maher was playing left half back. He was spraying, you know, great diagonal balls across the field, except they were all going high into Willie Connors, who was, I think, about 5'2". And it just didn't make sense for that type of ball, and a lot of the ball that they were hitting seemed to be just hitting on the back foot rather than people, you know, just bursting out of the half back line, head up in space and having time and vision to be able to see where forwards were and to give them the right type of ball. If you put the ball in front of Willie Connors on the ground, it's very, very difficult to mark him. I think 3 balls in a row, I counted, went straight between himself and Paddy Deegan, and Paddy won him. And like, Willie Connors was, I suppose, starting out, you know, yesterday, his second match for Tipperary as such, and he needed, you know, he needed a better type of ball than that. So back to your point about, you know, the number of chances created. Well, they didn't create an awful lot against Limerick either, but they were very, very efficient. And I just feel a Tip rely a huge amount on just natural talent of the likes of John McGrath and Jason Ford, rather than maybe mixing up that with a little bit of combination plays from backs to forwards, or better distribution and that. I think I'd be a little bit worried about yesterday's performance if I was tip management.
Does there come a time, though? I mean, I agree with your distribution talk, but does there come a time where you just have to win your own ball, whatever sort of ball it is? I mean, you look at TJ Reid, the ball he took from Killian Buckley and just put it over, the one he took from Owen Murphy, it broke in the middle of the field and he puts it over.
You always have to have that, Conor. You cannot not have that. But when you have clean possession, you need to make better use of it, rather than knocking it up in the air for a 50-50 ball again. You know, why would you give it away so foolishly when you have an advantage of being able to put it into a strength area for a forward, retain possession, recycle and go for your score again? I don't disagree with you. You have to have ball winners in the forward line, and you will not win big games and All-Irelands and league finals and all that if you don't have it. But I just thought that even at centre forward, I mean, Bill McCarthy's obviously in there for that role. A very, very tall player, competitive centre forward. But again, he spilled a huge amount of ball yesterday. If that's your role in there to win possession, well, you've got to make the ball stick to hand and you've got to distribute it or go yourself. But I just felt he spilled an awful lot of ball, very high percentage of ball for that level of hurling. Hence the likes of the little, dovetail runs that you'd expect to see off of John McGrath and these type of players weren't able to happen because you just didn't have primary possession to do that.
JJ, you would have been loving Paddy Deegan's role there then, picking out those high balls.
Yeah, Paddy had a great game, in fairness, you know. And yeah, you're seeing Paddy Maher wing back and left half back, and when he crossed the ball, maybe Michael Breen should have been in that corner then, because he's a big physical guy. High ball is coming in there as well. It makes sense for having a bigger guy over in that corner, because if Paddy gets it, he's going to switch it over. That's the ball from a left half back, should we switch over in the other corner? And maybe it could have been a benefit and move there as well. But yeah, again, he used a lot better than Tipperary yesterday. They're going through the lines again, and that's what they're doing. But then they mixed it up as well. When they seen an opportunity, Walter won the first ball, got a goal, and then they were feeding him high ball in. It wasn't just low ball or 20-30 yard passes. They're going back to their old Kilkenny 50-60 yard ball in, because it was working. They could actually see, the players were thinking on their feet, their halfback line was thinking on their feet. James Maher had a brilliant game midfield as well, because they actually seen a threat in the full forward line, that Walter was there and he's winning, he was on top. So it got him in the ball as quickly as possible, because, and that made it one on ones there as well. When they didn't come in high, he was going into corners, Walter was winning, and then James Barry was under pressure because he was either fouling him then or Walter was scoring. So Kilkenny players were thinking on their feet. They're seeing an opportunity there and they went for it, and then that's what happened within the second half. First 20 minutes they seen an opportunity, and then they were out of sight by the time Paddy Maher was going to back in full back. The damage was done. There were 7 or 8 points up, and there was only a matter of seeing out the game after that then as well. So it's great management by the actual players on the field themselves. They were told what to do, but Cody would give you that freedom as well. If you see an opportunity, go for it as well. Like, you know what I mean? You don't have to stick to the actual game plan. We'll go short when we can, but if we see an opportunity inside, or get in, getting the ball in with him. And Luke Scanlon came on as well. Perfect fit for Walter. Walter was in, big man. When he cropped the ball or broke the ball, Luke Scanlon is very, very quick on the ball. So he was in on the break there as well. So it actually worked out very, very well for Kenny, in fairness to him.
Does this whole complexion change though now when Tipperary probably get a whole new half forward line? You have Bonner Maher, Noel McGrath, Dan McCormick, still the comeback. Then you have Seamus Callanan going inside somewhere. Does that change everything?
Well, I think they need it anyway. Yeah. They have no choice at the minute, because you know another performance like yesterday will certainly not get you through Munster. I think there were some positives. I think Alan Flynn was very, very strong yesterday. I was impressed with Bill Sheehan in Wexford Park. I think he only got one real chance, and I know Flynn brought out a lot of ball and he was tigerish and that. Incidentally, I'm going to be interested in JJ's comments here. Just the way the full back line of Tip approached the ball, you know, generally speaking, if you have a strong full back, he goes physically very, very hard for a lot of ball, and to and forward then will mop up the breaks. And you would think that Alan Flynn and Michael Carr are those type of players, but a lot of the time they were challenging for those sort of high balls coming in, and you know, just the understanding between everybody, it just didn't appear to be at the level you would expect for this. So look, the potential positives for Tip really are that it's Callan and Bonner and Noel McGrath coming back, but that is another bit of a problem for them, because they're going now into a club championship in Tipperary. They might maybe 2 or 3 or 4 rounds, and they're playing Limerick on May the 20th in the Gaelic grounds. And then they're going to play four matches in a row after that each week. And generally speaking, you'll need a week to replan your game. You'll go with a game plan, but you'll tweak it game to game. Even your puck out strategy is going to be different for every game, because you're going to be playing different half backs. You may very well be playing a sweeper or something like that. So you may not have time to actually adjust and change things, and particularly fix things. So they're bringing in Seamus Callan and Bonner Maher and Noel McGrath, and I know they're decorated with All-Stars and all of that, but getting them into a system of play that's going to be fluid and that's going to be right to have a go at Limerick, who themselves are itching to get going, is not going to be easy. And I think Mick Ryan has, you know, he's definitely a fair challenge on his hands here.
What happens with Jason Ford when Seamus Callan comes back? Does he stay full forward? Does Callan go to the corner?
Yeah, look, again, it's a great headache for a manager to have now. I'm going to pay Jason Ford or Seamus Callan in full forward. But again, it'll all depend on what kind of shape Seamus Callan comes back in. Like, is he hurling well? Has he enough game under his belt there as well? Because Jason Ford at the moment, like, very, very hard to move him. But then again, Seamus Callan has all the credit built up in the bank there as well. But you'd like to, when going back to the point in the half forward in there as well, they're probably going back to the half forward in the header last year. And I don't think Michael Ryan really wanted to do that. He was trying out guys in the league, and he wanted to get a couple of options there. But then since yesterday, I think he'd probably go home on the bus. He probably made up his mind, right, I'll have to go with what I had last year as well. But if Noel McGrath does start centre forward, and they're playing, whenever Bonner was playing in the league, he was always under 10 or 12, so if they are going to play Noel McGrath in centre forward, they're going to have to feed him the ball short, because there's no point in having him centre forward, him going out the field and poking along the ball in on top of the opposition full back line. All they have to do is back out, the centre back is there to clean up the ball. So it's an interesting to see if they do, Noel McGrath does come back and play at 11, they're going to have to feed him the ball properly.
And I suppose that's what I was referring to. JJ has explained it very, very well here. You know, you got to rehearse that in training. Okay, it might have worked for them last year, and you know, they know a lot of the parts of it. But to make it really slick in first round championship match in Limerick, against Limerick, who are going to be flying themselves, it's not going to be easy. And I just think that is a huge challenge for him. I think he has a lot of classy forwards, there's no doubt about that, but all of that's dependent, of course, on your half back line being dominant, getting free out into open ground to be able to deliver that short type of ball to an outrunning half forward like Noel McGrath. Because if it isn't, you know, JJ has explained what will happen if that doesn't happen. You knock it long like they were doing yesterday into a full back line, and the opposition full back line catches it or knocks it down in front of him. If they catch it, they sprint forward, hand pass to a centre back, and now the ball's coming right back down your throat when you don't want it, when more than likely your back line's going to be out of position. So I think they have just a lot of things to fix at the minute. They have a lot of players to come back, class players to come back to fill some problems, but whether they'll have time to get it right or not, particularly by May the 20th, and bear in mind they're playing four Sundays in a row, you know, time will tell.
Well, this is more of a technical question for you, JJ, just coming, picking up on some of those comments, but talking about Padraig Walsh as well. I mean, what is the real difference, I suppose, that you would need to learn from going in the wing to into fullback at the edge of the square?
Isn't you kind of if they attack the ball a bit more, but then again you have to pick and choose when you do attack. If you attack every single ball, you're going to be exposed, and if you get turned in fullback lane, if you get turned in the wing back, at least you're going to concede as a point, because you have the fullback lane and the centre back will come over to cover you. But if you're a fullback, you're last man back, you should be last man to go. If you actually just sell yourself completely all the time, the ball will break in. So you're going to have to hedge your bets now and again as well. Like, again, it's a difficult position to play, but I think Padraig has adapted very, very well. He is quick and he is strong, and he's very, very good in the air. He was unfortunate, a brilliant catch there yesterday that the cornerback was blue for it, you know. But he's actually finding a lot of form himself, and probably Liam Ryan are the two best fullbacks in the league. In fairness to him, the two of them had a brilliant league as well. And you notice when Padraig wasn't there, how that's how effective a player is. You actually notice when he's not there how good he is. A fullback work would go, a lot of it would go unnoticed. And blocking and just kind of breaking the ball into your goalkeeper and just kind of calm the whole full back line down really more than that. And you have to orchestrate your two cornerbacks as well. It's not only you're looking after yourself, you have to orchestrate the two cornerbacks as much as possible too. So Padraig seems to be very, very vocal as well, and every game he's playing he's learning from them. He's marking top class forwards in every one of these league games as well. So every game that he gets full back and he gets on top of these markers as well. And he learned from that yesterday as well. He learned from Jason Ford. Next time he is marking Jason Ford, he learned from that as well. That's the best thing about the league as well. Before you go play him in championship, it's nice to go toe to toe with the top kind of player in an opposition team as well. So you can actually learn from that as well, because when it comes to the big day, you know he's going to be higher in his game. So you have to make sure you're higher in your game as well.
And it should be said that obviously Kilkenny have a lot of players to come back as well. Colin Fennelly, Richie Hogan, Paul Murphy, and a fully fit Conor Fogarty. I mean, what's the story there? What's wrong with him? Because he looked like he was flying when he came on.
Yeah, Conor had glandular fever there during the league. He's only after coming back there for, I think the Wexham game was the first one he was talking about. He was obviously training for a couple of weeks before that, but he'll get a couple of he had a club game under his belt now next week as well, a full 60-70 minutes, and he'll come back in train for the next few weeks now. So he's hitting the ground running at the right time as well. But you see the two games when he came on, he made a huge difference, especially down in Wexford Park. He won 30 ball there as well and started attacking it, and I didn't think Conor Ford, you know, I never call him a goal scorer, but
yeah,
when he got in the break there, he took off and he left Brendan Marr for dead now, and he finished it very, very well. Like, he may go for goal a bit more often.
Yeah,
everyone.
Pure power, directness. The finish was unbelievable. He's been so wired the last two games that he's come on. He's bouncing around the place like a gazelle. Like, you know, you're wondering, is this boy even coming back from injury or sorry glandular fever, as you say?
Yeah, sure, it's huge. But sure, again, any player wants to be out in the field. Like, you know, he's probably watching over the last few weeks and Kilkenny are going well, and he wants to be out there. Like, he wants to be out there helping his friends, his mates as well. Like, you know, and he actually body language is huge when he came on. He just stick out the chest and he gets put the head down. That's Conor Fordy is 100%. He's just focused on winning the game for Kilkenny. If you asked him to go over a step on the corner flag, he'd go over and do it for the best Kilkenny. Like, you know, his attitude is actually 100%.
He's a good trainer, because you can see the veins and muscle bouncing off his thighs and stuff as well as he's running back.
Sorry, lad, you'll be talking out beside when you come back in January now. So you're going to give it out to yourself, so you would.
Well, lads, let's look at matchups, because obviously there was a bit of shifting going on before the game. Like, Ronan Maher went on to TJ Reid. What do you think of that shift? I meant Paddy Maher was out on Cuan, and he sort of struggled there as well.
I couldn't understand some of the matchups and some of the tactics of Tip in starting. I mean, we were lauding Paddy for the performance against Kyle Hayes below in Thurles, and he's played centre back a little while back. And I did actually mention in the show last week that sometimes after Paddy's best matches, the next time you see him, he's actually on the wing, in a wing back, and so it happened yesterday. But I couldn't figure out yesterday why. You know, I don't know. Paddy must have five or six all-stars at this stage. TJ is probably the same, but he wasn't told to go out and go ahead, you know, go toe-to-toe here with TJ Reid and follow him around the place. And bearing in mind that, you know, they had Brendan Maher in the middle of the field, who could have slipped back in. You know, if Paddy was caught up the field, Brendan could actually act as a defensive midfielder there and fill the space there while he was there. So there are a lot of things that they could have fixed. And you're right. You know, I think Martin Keown just, you know, caused enough problems to Paddy. He certainly didn't let him catch ball in the air and be able to put back down the throat of Kilkenny in that again. But, you know, Martin Keown wouldn't be known, and I think even Kilkenny, as a huge scorer, as a real prolific scorer, and he had two chances early on out on the left-hand side that he spun wide. So, you know, you'd have to ask the question, why was Paddy put out there? And instead of putting it up to him, he's captain of the team, and take on TJ Reid centre back and go toe-to-toe with him wherever he is and have a defensive screen in front of it then. Didn't happen, and I just thought that some of their changes, you know, I think to move Billy McCarthy out of centre forward and to move them back in there again, and I actually think that they ended up with Cathal Barrett, who was, you know, a fair corner back. He ended up corner forward. Now it looked that may have been due to injury, but I think there were only four subs in at that stage, so I was just surprised by a lot of the moves I think that Tip made, and particularly early on, and even just to start the game like that, you know, is a little bit disruptive to the team. And, you know, what are you saying to Paddy Maher? You're not able for TJ Reid? He's five all-stars in his back pocket. You know, instead of that, I think you'd be saying to him, look, you need to bury this lad here for our team here, because TJ Reid carried the game on his own, in my view, to Tipperary in the first half. I think Kilkenny, a little bit worrying for Kilkenny, I think they didn't score for about 20 minutes in the first half, but TJ kept him in it by the ball he was winning and by the frees he was converting. And, you know, therein lies another issue. Tipper giving away just a lot of frees. I think they gave away 11 or 12 yesterday. I think TJ might have converted 11, and Owen Murphy another one. And again, you know, it just shows a team that weren't really, really going for the juggler. And you know, so I just struggle a little bit to look at some of the changes that they made before the game and some of the matchups and some of the changes made during the game.
And would you have expected Keown to get on top of Paddy Maher like he did?
No, I didn't, but he had actually a fabulous game. Oscar was brilliant. He probably wasn't expecting Paddy Maher to come out on him, but he came on to him. He didn't take it one step back.
Yeah.
And it is not in him to go back in it, to be honest with you. If he's at Nick DeFarry, he wouldn't go back anyway. He had a great game. He caught a ball over his head there one time, and he did. He disrupted his game. But just going back to Paddy Maher being centre back, and I think TJ was expecting him to be marking him, and you don't underestimate it. It's a huge boost of conference that he's coming in centre forward. He was there to mark him and see Paddy going out in the wing there. That's a massive, don't underestimate that for any player at all, because he was expecting a huge battle against Paddy Maher, and then he was kind of saying Ronan marking on, no disrespect to Ronan, but he said tip management now is moving Paddy Maher over and someone else, so Ronan come back because was going to mark me. And TJ, I'd say his chest kind of puffed out a small bit more as well, because especially during a game, if you're marking a top quality player and he gets moved off you get boost of confidence straight away, and that's what he got before the match as well, I'd say, you know. But come back to Massey Keown, fabulous game for his first league final as well. The mark of the player, like Paddy Maher as well, he kept him very, very quiet in the first half, and Paddy's moved around a bit and eventually went back full back. And but again, they were trying to firefight that at that particular time. I think that move was probably 10 minutes too late. I think the game was gone at him. They should have, when the ball was going in on top of, as I said it previously, the game management from Kilkenny players were getting the ball in quick into Walter. That was the time to move in, 10 minutes before he actually moved in, because the damage was on at that particular time. Because one ball, when we did full back, ball came in the top of him, he caught ball over Walter's head and he got a free. But again, the horse was bolted at that particular stage, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that, JJ. I think actually 3 and 6 tip management were very, very slow in fixing those two positions, and there was, you know, there was moves there that could have fixed it. Even Brendan Maher has been known to be a half back more than a midfielder. And what was really strange was against Limerick the last day, I think it was Tosi Hammond was left half back, and he was just, you know, he was just finding it difficult. It wasn't one of his better games. And the move, Seamus Kennedy back wing back, not Ronan Maher. And I actually said it in the show here, look, it looked like that Michael is happy with Ronan Maher in the middle of the field, and Ronan played very well in the middle of the field. And suddenly things get changed around a lot, and even when something needs to be made, it's by watching Seamus Kennedy that went back there, even though that's what they did in the previous match. So if you're a player, you just wonder, you know why is it different for each game and that. And I think it disrupted Tip a little bit. They certainly didn't get the platform and the bounce off the half back line they would have expected to get with that quality of player.
And lads, I suppose there was one moment in the second half that I remember anyway. Martin Keown, 19 years of age, he dispossesses Heffernan, and probably summed up what you were talking about that sort of Brian Cody, all the basics of Brian Cody. When he dispossesses Heffernan, and the ball's on the ground, nicks it away from, I think it was Paddy Maher coming in, scoops it up, puts it over, you burst through the challenge to do that as well. I mean, we talk about matchups and stuff like that and systems all we want, but Kilkenny just, they were cleaner, they were up for it a bit more, they won those little battles all over the field.
Yeah, it was huge for Kilkenny. Like, don't underestimate that they wanted to defend Nolan Park there as well in the league final. There's a record there, and these guys are very, very proud of this there as well. And if you look at it, it's Paddy Deegan's, probably 7 or 8 of these guys, is the first league final that they're playing for Kilkenny as well, and they didn't want to lose to Tipperary now in their own backyard there as well. So just a touch on Paddy Deegan, I thought he had an absolutely fabulous game and grew into the game. The ball as Tipperary was playing into him at the start probably suited him, and he was very, very strong in the air, but he was bursting out, and he was sporting, he was clearing his own ball, but he was sporting the runner there at all times as well, and great level of fitness there as well, and a huge find for Kilkenny this year now, in fairness to him.
I think that was a big difference, JJ. I agree with you. I meant to say that earlier on. Just the Kilkenny player to take, you know, the options to the Kilkenny player coming out of the defence on both shoulders were different than Tip, and oftentimes the Tip player might make that run and mightn't have got it. Somebody went on the back foot and lamped the ball up in the air. It was going distance, there were great strikes, but they're not really a forward ball, particularly when, you know, you don't have real strong players up front to claim that type of ball. And I think the little pop pass to the man coming through the gap out into open field to be able to deliver a ball at a better, with better precision on that ball, would have served them much better. And I think when you look at it, what happened in the last 10 or 15 minutes, I remember there was one high ball went into Kilkenny, maybe onto the Kilkenny 21 yard line, and 3 Tipperary players went to challenge for the high ball. You know, you'd be giving out under 12s that one of them should go over and the other should stay around and mop up the breaking ball and that, and it didn't happen. And it's very unlike Tipperary. That's what just surprised me about a lot of things yesterday, because these are very, very real high quality players, you know, and have proved it in the past, winning All-Ireland and that, and they just completely lost their way in terms of a game plan and that yesterday, which was, you know, a little bit worrying, as I'm saying.
How important was Owen Murphy's save on Bubbles O'Dwyer?
Yeah, look, very, very important. And look, I suppose when you think of it, look, Tipperary were lucky that they weren't beaten by Moore. I mean, that was a very, very important save, and definitely Walter's goal was very important. And I think I said here last week that his goal against Wexford, he's coming up trumps with really important goals for the team at critical times for the team when they're trying to gain an ascendancy in the game. But you know, the goal off the free sort of dribbled over the line. You know, I think Tipper lucky that they weren't beaten by Moore yesterday, particularly in the second half, because I thought Kilkenny were just totally dominant, and they probably had another chance. I think it was that Donnelly was through for a goal another time when it looked like that he was going to convert, and it didn't happen. But Owen Murphy is just there is actually a lot of top class goalkeepers out there at the minute, and he's probably the best of them at the minute. And he expects to make those saves. That's not it's a fantastic save, but he is a top class goalkeeper because of the saves he makes, and he expected to make that save yesterday, but it was important at the time. Yes,
I tell you who didn't expect him to make it. Bubbles O'Dwyer, when he went running away celebrating with his hand in there.
It's gas in the warm up beforehand. I actually saw him practicing the goals, and they were running a little warm up drill there, and he'd take a pop pass and he'd go through, and he'd pick his spot, and he almost done the very same thing. So I'd say he was expecting the same result, and it just didn't happen for him.
But a great flick from Willie Connors as well. The ball broke to him. A lot of people would have took it into their hand, but first time into Bubba's path, and that actually made the goal opportunity as well. But even for Owen, unbelievable save, but he's up quick and he went for the rebound again, and then you had Enda Morrissey kind of sweeping up behind him after the ball broke the second time. Enda Morrissey was in and cleared it down the field there as well, so they're all kind of all in there together, the backs and the goalkeeper there together, so it was great.
If you were marking Bubbles, JJ, and you saw him running away celebrating only for his goal he'd be denied, what would you have done to him then in the next play?
That's hearsay now. I would have tried and play the ball obviously as much as possible, but I'd say I would have probably tried to hit him after he scored. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to celebrate like that now, you're going to have to earn a score, you know. But yeah, look, it's great save. Bubbles, he's a very, very good hurler as well. Like, you know, he was kind of small but off the pace when he came on. He had a great chance in the second half there as well. He dummied one guy and hit and left, but very unlike him, hit it wide there as well. So I think they're going to have to get a lot more work rate out of Bubbles there as well. I think they was kind of trying to, during the league, set down a marker. Michael Ryan was trying to set down a marker for him, saying that you're not going to walk back on the team. But unfortunately, the way it went yesterday, you need Bubbles on that team, you know what I mean? But again, you need him to work. Like, and you see him, the difference between his work rate and maybe TJ's work rate, and two of them are on a level par regarding skill. But if you were picking a team, I'd rather have TJ on the team because of his whole work rate, the whole package he has, you know.
TJ Reid.
Yeah, simple as that.
All right, we'll leave that there. Up next, we'll look at our performance of the week.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year, year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. Beans. Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Okay, lads, I was looking at who was supposed to standout player across the Camogie and the hurling final, but there's so many that stood out, and it got me thinking, Jesus, like, do Kilkenny have this team set now? We're talking about Paddy Deegan, Padraig Walsh. Then I was looking at the two wingbacks, Morrissey and Delaney. Like, are these two the real deal? Like, you had Ger Lochnan last night saying that Killian Buckley is the best defender in the country, and then I'm looking at all these players around him, and the two wingbacks especially, they look really set.
Yeah, look, again, any defender needs five very, very good lads around him and two very, very good midfielders as well. You've seen the second half, I think James Maher done a lot of work, which has gone unnoticed. He was sitting back in the half-back line, protecting the half-back line there as well, and he won actually a couple of Tipperary puckouts as well, and he hurled a very, very good game. I think he was the best of the four midfielders, now to be fair, before Connor came on. Killian Buckley is coming into that role. We've seen him playing centre-back with Dixborough last year, and they won the county final, but he's very direct. He's an athlete. He can win the ball, take on the centre forward, break the tackle, and actually use the ball left and right as well. He's very, very good at using the ball as well. So, yeah, I agree with Gerno. Killian Buckley is one of the best centre backs out there at the moment. You know, he's after going into the team when he came on the team first. He was a wing forward, a midfielder, but Brian moved him back half back, and he didn't look back since. And you see, year on year, he's after maturing. He's more comfortable in his own game as well, and he's after becoming a huge leader for Kilkenny.
Just to run through some of the names that I have on here anyway. Paddy Deegan, obviously we talked about. TJ Reid, obviously, because he's TJ Reid, as we established in the last game. Megan Farrell, thought was unreal, centre back for Kilkenny, just cleaning up everything and just delivering some amazing balls into the forward lane. Orla Cronin for that goal, purely just that goal. Katie Poyer was in and out of full forward, really dominant in that Camogie final as well. I have Jason Ford down here. I don't know if he's agreed with that. I just thought it was a real sort of classic battle, fullback against full forward, Patrick Walsh against Jason Ford. I thought both of them came out with credit. Yeah. But it was one of those ones that you can only enjoy and hurt.
Yeah, you have to appreciate battles like that too. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you're going to mark like Jason Ford, you're never going to be topping for those 70 minutes, and you're trying to curtail him as much as possible. I think Parry did it. But again, Jason, we had flashes of him being on top there as well. So a great battle between the two of them.
Cheddar.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that. No disrespect to the Camogie, I suppose. I'm just focusing on the hurling here to an extent. Look, there is no doubt, without TJ Reid yesterday, I think Tip could have been well ahead at half time. I think he was just such a leader, as JJ has referred to earlier on. Just took the responsibility himself in every form of the game, you know, whether he was playing out in front of the centre forward or playing at centre forward, or whether he was tackling, hooking, blocking. And his conversion to freeze was flawless. And I think when you think that Kilkenny didn't score, and I just think that, you know, Kilkenny in the first half and maybe in the first 20 minutes or so, took him a little while to get to the pace of the game, and it, you know, they did fly in the second half all right. But when they needed somebody to stand up there and just set down a marker that, I think JJ is right, this is our pitch here and we're going to defend it strongly here, I think TJ Reid did that. And not alone his scoring exploits, it was just his position on the field and that set him apart. I think the Kilkenny defence is an interesting one. I think you're looking at, you know, a real tight defence here, and real, I suppose, what would you like to call it, defensive cohesion here between them. But just think for a minute, you know, Paul Murphy's going to come into that maybe full back line. You know, is he going to come in at the expense of Joey Holden and then have a full back line of Murphy, Welsh and Deegan? There'd be an awful lot of full forward line mightn't like to take on those three. You know, so their team, I think, is built on a solid back line at the minute. They don't give away scores cheaply, and that they're very, very competitive, but they have a real cohesion among one another. The back one another up, I think, you know, JJ's explained, even in that last piece of play, you know, there's three or four Kilkenny players around the ball. Even the ball, the free that went over the line, they were still trying to scratch it back over the line. I think they work really, really hard for one another, back one another up, even either with possession or without possession. And they've got two athletic, strong, you know, strong striking midfielders in front of them, so they are, you know, they are they're wouldn't want me to be saying this, but they are the real deal here in terms of, I think, going forward, and a fantastic goalkeeper behind them as well. So I think if you have a good defence, you are always in the game. You may not win the game, but you're but you know, the game is always there for you, and you know, coming down the wire, there's not going to be much between you. Whereas, you know, I just think on the other side of that, you know, Tips have serious issues to address, and I suppose, look, that's just, I suppose, you know, that's the comparison between the two teams, really, to a sense.
And I suppose they have a half forward line, I think, as well, that's almost pretty set. I mean, look at Keown, TJ Reid, and the slickest wrists in hurling, John Donnelly. I mean, there's nothing he can't do, like, you know, with a hurl.
Yeah, but then look, you have Richie Hogan back on that team, Colin Finlay will he go into the corner, Gerard Aylward come back onto the team. Like, the forwards line is going to be strengthened a lot more than the back line. Now, I know Paul Murphy's come back in, he's to fight for his place, but the three options come in that foreign division there as well, so it's going to be healthy competition for places. Now, there's club games going on next week, so Brian will be hoping now that the lads will get through that and come back in and train for 3 or 4 weeks for the double match as well, so it's going to be huge.
So who do we have for performance of the week? One vote each.
I'll go for, as a backman, I'll back up Paddy Deegan to the last. I think he was absolutely fabulous for his first league final, especially in Kilkenny as well. He started from minute one, he won the first couple of balls, came into him, and that gave him huge confidence, and he had confidence going to go for a point near the end there as well, which is unlucky, he just barely hit it away. But just for his man marking, tackling, his aggression, his support play, his distribution as well, very, very, very good. He knew when to go long and he knew when to go short. Shows the confidence the guy has at the moment, so I go for Paddy Deegan.
Cheddar.
Yeah, I think he did a great game. I think centre back with Lachlan, JJ, I'm correcting that. And then to step back into a corner back, they're very, very different positions, and to have the performance like he had yesterday. And it was an intelligence of his hurling, I suppose. You look, you expect him to be strong defensively and to be able to mind his patch and that, but it was his intelligence on the ball, his support play, that I think made him stand out for me. But look, I kind of move away from TJ Reid. You know, when Kilkenny needed a legend to stand up, he stood up and he was counted. And that was after, you know, what looked like a serious injury after a number of minutes, and caused mayhem, I think, for Tipperary, and Tipperary just simply weren't able to handle it. So I'd have to give it to him for you know, man of the game, no doubt.
I was going to go TJ Reid as well, just because of all the different type of ball he was winning and what he was doing with all the different types of distribution, and from set plays as well, just so, so effective. But I don't think I have the authority to overrule you, JJ, so I'm going to stay in this one, call it a tie, and we'll say congratulations to both TJ and Paddy Deegan. Well, that's everything. Thanks, lads, for a nice roundup of the league campaign. No, thanks for keeping me going for a whole hour almost. I think you have April off now, and then we'll get you back in for Championship.
We'll go back to the clubs now, will we, for April?
Back to the clubs. Just come back injury free as well, if you can. All right, we'll be back. I don't know when Willie's back, so we'll be back when Willie's back. So Thursday, probably. Maybe next Monday. All the best.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.